Welcome to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. The Legacy and Faith Show is about the journey of discovering how to create plans that protect wealth and family values for generations. And now the host of the Legacy and Faith Show, Paul Grant.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, another edition of the Legacy and Faith Show with estate and tax attorney Paul Grant. Hello there, Paul Grant.
Hi, Mark.
Hey, once again, we are dealing with coronavirus and COVID-19 and all of the different concerns about that. And ironically, this brings up some questions, particularly in the area of the power of attorney. People are trying to get their house in order, even during times like this, maybe scrambling to get some things in order.
Yeah, even specifically in a time like this, there are a lot of questions. There's a lot of concerns out in the marketplace. Mm-hmm. And you just turn on the news and it's all negative, negative, negative. And the news cycle almost is highlighting fear instead of peace. Mm-hmm. And of course, we want our lives to be driven by the Prince of Peace, by the peace that has been given us by Jesus Christ. So if you have called upon the name of the Lord, the word says that you are saved. So if you've given your life to Jesus Christ, then he becomes a part of our life. He becomes indwelt within us, and he gives us the gift of the Holy Spirit, that the seal and the mark is what Ephesians calls the Holy Spirit, that he is a seal for us. And by that, we have peace. And really, peace is not a feeling. It's not really a sensation. It is a person. Christ is peace, and he won that victory on the cross. And so therefore, because he is in us, we can always have that attribute coming and flowing from our lives. But the more we listen to the craziness of the world that's going on right now, then the difficulty is that our attention begins to be pulled away from the Prince of Peace and starts focusing on the chaos. And my encouragement is that we stay focused on Christ, because then our hearts will be pulled towards him and we will have that solidifying peace that we desire and need. So in this discussion, in this moment in time that we are facing, we don't want to act in fear. We want to act with wisdom and knowledge that leads to peace. And so my encouragement for the body of Christ is stay focused on him, stay focused on the word of God. And yes, I'm here to be a voice of wisdom today with power of attorneys, but more than anything, I want to be a voice of peace, because Christ is our peace.
Well, this is an opportunity, though, and it does remind people that they do need to get their house in order.
That's right.
And unfortunately, you've mentioned many times whether COVID-19 is going on. People, half the people in the world don't even have an estate plan.
Yeah, that's very true. Yeah. And so if you've reached the age of 65, statistically, you do not have a power of attorney. So and then if you're under that, that's only 30% of individuals who have a power of attorney. Mm. So we need to accomplish the practical. And that's what you're talking about, is how do we get the practical issues around our life so that we can be ready if something happens? And so, so taking these steps is very necessary. As a matter of fact, that's why we are still open for business. As a matter of fact, on April 15th, we're going to be having a workshop. You can head to my website, legacyandfaith.com. I know it's just a week away, but it's going to be online only. So I'm sure that there's a family member who can help you get clicked onto our webinar. It's not complicated. I promise it's not. We'll be available for phone calls. We'll guide you through it. But we want to get good information out. And so we are going to be having a webinar-based workshop. And so head over to legacyandfaith.com and click on the on the workshop button and sign up. We'd love to get all of this information to you.
Well, people have extra time, and this is a great opportunity. They got the time. They should take in this seminar. Is there a cost with this seminar?
Nope, there is not a cost. Okay. We're waiving, as a matter of fact, for this time of April, we're actually doing something we've never done, which is that we're waiving all initial fees, because usually there is a fee after the seminar to sit down with us and review. Of course, we're not going to sit down. We're going to run those by webinar as well.
Right.
But for April, we've never done this before, but special times need special responses. And so we want to be a part of the solution. And so we're actually taking extraordinary steps to make sure we get in touch with people, get their questions answered, and brings that some peace and security to those specifically of the body of Christ. We want to be a voice of peace.
Okay. Well, let's kind of review then what you got into. What is the POA, or power of attorney? And some more questions about that.
Yeah, so a power of attorney is a document that empowers someone else. They're called an agent, and whoever creates the power of attorney is called the principal. So you empower an agent to act over usually your finances and or your health. Those are the two most common power of attorneys. And so it allows someone else to, in essence, do whatever you can do. So banking is one of the more common things. If I could go to the bank and withdraw money, then my power of attorney could do so. If I could close an account, then my power of attorney can. Now, a power of attorney can be limited, or it can be very, very open. It can be very broad with powers. So we can limit the scope. We can do something such as, I only want someone to assist me for a period of time or on a certain transaction, like to sell a piece of property, but they can't go to my bank account. They can't go to my IRAs, or they can't have power over my 401ks and other property. So they could be limiting, but the most common one that is out there is they're associated with estate planning, and they're a financial power of attorney, a healthcare power of attorney. In our system, we use a mental health power of attorney, HIPAA documents, end of life documents. So there's multiple documents that really create a whole estate plan. And a power of attorneys are one portion of having a full estate plan. Hmm. So power of attorneys empower someone else to act on your behalf. And so that's really the premise of what they do.
Well, so how long are these power of attorneys good? And do they have like an expiration date?
Yeah. Or? Yeah, good question. So it's different. So the most common one is that it's a part of an estate plan. And we can have one that turns on immediately and then typically will not have an expiration date, or one that is called a springing power of attorney, which says, if I cannot act on my behalf. So in other words, a doctor or someone else has to proclaim that I am unable to manage my assets. And when that event happens, the power of attorney springs into action and it turns on. Now, most power of attorneys have a deadline and are an expiration date, and that's called death. So
right.
A power of attorney, even though most people don't know this, is that a power of attorney always ends when the principal dies. So it's unfortunately common for someone to go to a bank after someone has passed away and say, I've got their power of attorney and I've got their will. So so I need access to the decedent's account. Well, that doesn't work.
Hmm.
And so because number one, you can't use a power of attorney for someone who's passed away. It immediately ceases when someone dies.
Hmm.
So power of attorneys are useless after death. And then a will won't work because that takes a probate. You have to have letters testamentary or letters administration. If you don't have a will, you need the court to empower you to actually have access to accounts after somebody died. But that's a whole different show and a whole different program. But so power of attorneys end at death. They can also end or cease after a period of time. So I could make a power of attorney valid for the next 30 days because someone's not feeling well, but they need someone else's assistant. So I've been circumstances where someone from out of town has come in to assist somebody, but we don't want to give them a forever power of attorney, but they need authority during the month that they're going to be here assisting that person. So it can be a limited scope, or it can be for a transaction, such as a real estate deal. So once the real estate deal ends, then that power of attorney would end, and it would be limited to only function for that transaction. So you couldn't go to a bank account, you couldn't sell a home or anything else. It would only be for that specific transaction. So yes, every power of attorney actually has a shelf life, but it depends on the purpose and the function of the power of attorney. The most common are that they are a part of an estate plan, and those will end upon death or when it's revoked. So anyone can revoke a power of attorney as well. So you can just sign, I don't want that power of attorney in there. I don't want that person acting as my power of attorney. So therefore, I've ended it.
Well, you say it's a different show, but I would think death puts an end to the power of attorney. But then decisions have to be starting to be made right then, too, if they don't have a spouse or someone around to take care of them.
Yeah, that's
take
right.
Care of their estate. But that's another level of the trust or the will and some probate and all those things.
That is correct. Mm-hmm. And that's why we talk about everyone needs estate planning. It doesn't matter how much you have or how little you have, because that's relative. And so some people have very little in their mind, and yet other people would consider that a lion's share. So, so everyone needs an estate plan because of this specific fact. We need power of attorneys around you. We need to make sure that you are going to be safe in medical emergencies. Someone has access to pay your bills, can manage the finances. I understand that it may not be very much. I get that. But every person still needs to have the proper documentation for their own safety. Mm-hmm. And that's what these do. These documents create a safety net around an individual should they need assistance. That's why everyone needs estate planning. So you're right, Mark. The will, the trust. Now, trusts also are empowered during your lifetime. So that's a little bit of a different discussion, and we can hit that right after break because I know that we're coming up on one. But so I'll talk about how does a trust either replace or assist a power of attorney as we come back from break.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of a break, though, we're going to hear a little bit about it during the commercial break here, but you do have a webinar coming up here on April 15th.
Right around the corner.
Are some of these things going to be discussed in that webinar?
Absolutely.
It's got the biblical foundations of estate planning is kind of the theme of it.
Yes, that's right. And mm-hmm. so that's coming April 15th. Head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com. It'll be very clear of where to click. We're only doing it online because of, obviously no groups or anything else. And even follow-ups will be done online as well. So we have opportunity to talk to you specifically coming out of the workshop. And so we want to make sure that this continues to be services that you need. So we want to be here. We still have means to do that. So head over to legacyandfaith.com.
Back with more of the Legacy and Faith Show with Paul Grant in just a moment.
Hi, this is Paul Grant with the Legacy and Faith Show. Hosea 4:6 says, "My people are destroyed for the lack of knowledge." God's people need to be fully prepared in managing their finances and ensuring that their wealth is properly transferred. It is our passion to bring this knowledge to the body of Christ. If your church would benefit from having a financial and estate session that is biblically based, then I encourage you to reach out to us so that we can help design and implement a specific and strategic session for your church. Or if you are interested in estate planning services, then I likewise encourage you to reach out to us. You can go to legacyandfaith.com and receive all the information you need. Again, go to legacyandfaith.com.
Your photos, slides, scrapbooks, and home movies are invaluable and irreplaceable. Barry Kenny here with the Bear Services. Call us to save them as digital files to be stored electronically and shared liberally. We will even come to you so they stay in your possession. Go to thebearservices.com for more information. That's thebearservices.com.
We now return to the Legacy and Faith Show, featuring estate and tax attorney Paul Grant, and continue today's practical discussion to apply biblical principles for kingdom purposes.
Along with co-host Mark Holland, looking at the power of attorney and what that means and how that works in your will or in your trust. And Paul, you wanted to talk about how the power of attorney works with those documents.
So power of attorneys are their authority over what you personally own. So the theory of a trust is that the trust now owns your stuff. So we use a revocable living trust. The revocable is you have full power and control during your lifetime. The living component is what I want to focus on here for just a moment, which is that there's living instructions. So if I'm alive, how do I want to be cared for, and how do I want my finances that are in the trust utilized? So if you use a revocable living trust, your power of attorney does not control your trust assets. The trust document tells us specific instructions on what to do with your assets and how to utilize them. So in other words, it is a beefier, it is a far more instructive and more full instructions are in a trust on how to use your assets than a power of attorney designates. So we have two different kind of competing instruments here, but they actually do work collectively and cohesively. So again, if you own a bank account and it's in your name or it's in your joint name with your spouse, then a power of attorney, a financial power of attorney, would have authority over that document because it's in your name, and the power of attorney gives legal instructions and legal authority over what you control. So you control something that's in your name. Now, if you use a trust, that is not in your name. So therefore, a financial power of attorney does not have legal authority over the trust, but rather the successor trustee. So whoever you've named in your document of a trust should be the same as your financial power of attorney. We typically mirror those. But in a trust environment, the successor trustee has instructions in the trust on what to do. And actually, the fiduciary duties of a trustee are far higher than what they are over an agent's fiduciary duties in a financial power of attorney. That's why I tend to like and utilize trusts more in my practice than I do a will and a financial power of attorney set, because the protections, the fiduciary duties that someone has to act on are higher. So they have higher standards to utilize your finances in your best interest for your purposes, continue your investments, and secure your entire estate plan. Some of those duties do not exist in a financial power of attorney. And so if you use a trust, then the financial power of attorney would do things such as give power and authority over signing documents, because that would be done in your name. So, for example, if you had a tax return, April 15th is upon us, even though you are not required to file by April 15th this year, that has been extended. And so that deadline has been moved. But typically, we associate April 15th with tax deadline. And if you were unable to sign your name because of a health issue, because of mental incapacitation, because you physically couldn't hold a pen, then your financial power of attorney agent would have that legal authority, not your trustee, because it's not a trust asset. Mm. So therefore, these two documents, even though they work independently, they are designed to work cohesively. So where the trust manages your assets, the financial power of attorney manages everything else, such as your utilities, because your utility bills are still in your name. What if we had to cancel Comcast? Have you ever tried to cancel Comcast if your name is not on, or even ask a question from Comcast if your name is not on that account?
Right.
It is a unmitigated disaster, and it is wretched. Okay, so therefore, the financial power of attorney, because that bill is in your name, the financial power of attorney would be the document of choice that we would use, not the trust, okay? But your bank account's in the name of the trust, so therefore, the trust document would control that asset. So these work cohesively, but the financial power of attorney becomes more limited in its scope when you use a trust as your design. And again, because of the higher fiduciary duties in a trust, I prefer to protect my clients more. And so therefore, a trust can do that versus a financial power of attorney is more limited and it's not quite as protective, in my opinion, over the principal. So therefore, different documents for different purposes, but they do work together still. And so in a trust environment, we still use a financial power of attorney for some of those examples. Of course, there's many others. Mm-hmm. Typically, we don't put a car into a trust. So if we had to sell a car, government applications, and so the list would go on and here's one. One asset that never goes in your trust is a 401k or an IRA. It must be in your personal name. So the financial power of attorney would always control your IRA or your 401k. And so that's one asset that the trust will never control, at least not until you pass away. So then we typically move it to the trust, but not before that.
Mm-hmm.
So those are some of the, that's kind of the interplay between a trust and a financial power of attorney. Now, here's the problem. If I just lost you, then I'm really sorry. That was not my intent. It makes perfect sense in my brain, but then again, I do this every day. So then I'm going to come back to where this is a really critical discussion. And so we have a workshop coming up on April 15th, just around the corner, and would love to have you sign up for that because we're going to be doing it online by webinar only, and it's still going on. So head over to my website, legacyandfaith.com, head over and register for the upcoming April 15th webinar. I'm not sure what else you've been doing here for the past weeks on lockdown, so you might as well get some really good information.
It's in the evening.
Yep, it's in the evening. Mm-hmm. And so, and we're going to be discussing all of these things and much more, as how do these things work together. And on a webinar, I'll be able to actually show you pretty pictures and other things, and it actually tracks better maybe than what we just did on radio.
Mm-hmm.
So head over to the website, legacyandfaith.com. Sign up for our April 15th webinar. We'd love to have you get onto that as soon as possible.
Okay, and as you've mentioned, and we all know we are kind of on lockdown right now with COVID-19, and you kind of wanted to close out the show this week with, again, some encouragement on how to get through these difficult times.
Yeah, that's right. And I opened up the show with a little bit as well, which is that now more than ever as Christians, I really encourage you to keep your eyes on Jesus. I know that there's songs out there and it sounds wonderful and we get goosebumps when we sing our songs and it's like, yes, I want to do that. And then we go into daily life, and I have daily life as well. And so I promise you, it is the same struggle for me as it is for every other person out there, which is, am I going to listen to the voices that are right now screaming at me, or am I going to continue to focus on the goodness and the promises of God's word? And in 2 Corinthians 1:20, it says that all of God's promises are yes and amen. So they are yes in him, and they are amen in him through us for his glory. And so we want to make sure that we stay focused on the things and the goodness of God. You know, God is still on his throne. He hasn't left it. He's not up in heaven wringing his hands going, oh my gosh, what do I do with this world emergency now? I'm just lost and I'm confused. God is not lost and he's not confused. As actually Psalms 135:5 says, for I know that the Lord is great and that our Lord is above all gods. And so, you know, Jesus talked about that Satan is the god of this world. Paul also said that Satan is the god of this world. And so we know that our God, big G God, is more powerful. He is over every god, as Psalms 135 says. So this has not taken him by surprise. Psalm 45:6 says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever." In other words, God is not going to be moved. He is always on his throne. He is completely, perfectly comfortable with his power and his authority. Now, he has given us much of that power and authority for us to act in this world, to be a voice of encouragement, to be a voice of hope in times of despair. And so I encourage you, reach out. Don't stop doing works of service. Of course, it changes right now. It changes how we can do it. But my encouragement to you is think through and ask the Lord, how can I be the voice of hope and encouragement? How can I be the one who speaks peace and love and joy and comfort to those who are around me? There are opportunities that are presented to us that are unique in a time like this. And God has empowered you with his Holy Spirit for such a time as this, that we can rise up as the body of Christ. We can be people of works and services. Again, it may look different, but that's where God will give us wisdom and insight on how to approach it. And Isaiah 66:1 says, "The Lord says, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool." He is in full and absolute security within himself. God is good, and he wants to give you wisdom today. Wisdom on how to make a difference in this trying time. He wants to encourage you. He wants to empower you, to strengthen you, and he, on the inside of us, will then tell us exactly how to go meet a dying world with this hope that we call salvation, that we call Jesus. He is the world's hope, and we have a great answer for such a time as this. So I encourage you, God is good. His mercy endures forever, and go tell the world about it.
Some of the heart of Paul Grant, estate and tax planning attorney and host of the Legacy and Faith Show. Again, find out more about the upcoming webinar on April 15th happening on their website at legacyandfaith.com.
Thank you for joining us for the Legacy and Faith Show. You can find more information about the show and Paul Grant at legacyandfaith.com. Join us next week at the same time as we learn to build God's kingdom and continue our journey on how to protect wealth and family values for generations. All discussions on the Legacy and Faith Show are intended to be about general legal issues. If a situation applies to you, then we encourage you to seek specific legal advice. Please do not rely upon any discussions from this program in place of having a personal relationship with your attorney. Any listener question that may have been answered also does not constitute legal advice and does not establish a client-attorney relationship.